The emphasis today is one God, and based on Deuteronomy 6:4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You should know the history of this since its writing. The great verse has been recited countless times by Israelites down through the centuries, setting forth their distinctive belief in one great Creator God. The Jews had retained their original belief in creation, handed down from Noah, while the other nations had all allowed their original monotheistic creationism to degenerate into a wide variety of religions, all basically equivalent to the polytheistic evolutionism of early Sumerians at Babel. What we find is that they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge, the Romans tells us, and so they invented other gods. But along with this strong assertion of monotheism, there is also in this verse a very real suggestion that this declaration, with its thrice named subject, is also setting forth the triune God. The name Lord, as you and I know, is the King James way of translating Jehovah, and or Yahweh, as you would pronounce it in the Hebrew, closer to the Hebrew. And that is his name that he gave to Moses to say, "Tell the people of Israel, this is who I am." So this is the self-existing one who reveals himself. This is the transcendent God. This is when asked, what was he the God of? He said, "I am the God." "I am God. I am. I don't pass through time. I'm not here or there. I just am." And so transcendent in the ultimate sense. And then the word God, the Lord our God, that's Elohim. And that's the plural word, sometimes translated gods or lords in the Old Testament. But it is the powerful creator, the powerful ruler. That's the emphasis of that name. So Jehovah, our Elohim, is one Jehovah. That's the proclamation. And many respected Jewish commentators said that the verse spoke of a unified oneness rather than just an absolute being of one. And that's interesting when they not yet revealed the triunity. The Zohar, which was written in the Second Temple period from 539 BC to 70 AD, said of this verse that the first mention of Jehovah was of the Father, the second was of the Messiah, the Elohim, and then the third was of the Holy Spirit. Now, the key word that we want to look at here is one. And it is Strong's 258 in the Hebrew, Echad. And it is often used in the scripture to denote unity in diversity, which we would call then something of not a singularity, but a unity. So, for example, when Eve was united to Adam in marriage, they were said to be one flesh. And, of course, they stayed two separate people, but it was a union of their flesh. Also, on the third day of creation, the waters were gathered together into one place. Yet this gathering together was called seas, plural. More than one sea. In Genesis 1, 9 and 10, God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. and God saw that it was good. So what my devotional for you is that with the study of this verse, this distinctively Jewish verse, thus Israel's great declaration should really be understood as saying, in effect, the transcendent God, the creator and sustainer of all things, is a unified transcendent God. So it is a as valuable a concept to the Christian as it is to the Jew. The Jew is emphasizing their the oneness of God, not many gods.